Hello, and you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Early. And what a weekend of action we have in store this weekend between football and hurling. We have some brilliant games in the Ulster Senior Football Championship, the Connacht Senior Football Championship. Maybe not so in the Munster Senior Football Championship, but we'll just breeze through that. The Munster Senior Hurling Championship and obviously the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship is a crucial game between Dublin and Wexford, which I'm sure our guest tonight, Seamus Brady, might have opinions on moving into that game at the weekend. So, yeah, as I said, Seamus Brady is our guest this weekend from Onclithe. If you don't know him already, where have you been at? The show is sponsored by Capture Athletics, as always. Give the guys a follow. If you want the best gear around Gaelic Games gear, check the guys out at Capture Athletics. So, yeah, Seamus, it's probably the first weekend of the championship where we're absolutely busy. There's underage games even happening this evening. Like even before the podcast, I was watching Cork against Kerry in the under-20 championship. There's minor championship going on. And then when you look at the senior championship, there's football, there's hurling. Everything's going on this weekend.
Yeah, it's all kicking off, isn't it? I mean, like, it's hard to keep up with it. Thanks for having me on again, Matthew, actually, by the way. Just buzzing to get into another show here. Like I was saying to Aaron, I was on Aaron's show there an hour ago. I was saying at the start of it, I was like, it's gas because last weekend was such a weird weekend of action. Like you have Dublin and Meath and it was one of the weirdest games that I've been at. And then, yeah, you have other matches that just were a bit odd and everything like that. Like Down Antrim was a strange game. This, and you didn't really know what to make of it in the weekend recap. This is going to be a belter of a weekend. Like you've got Donegal against Derry, you've got Cavan Tyrone, you've got Mayo Roscommon, you've got Cork and Kerry. Like, and then you got the hurling kicking off. Like, it's just going to be an unbelievable weekend. And you have, obviously, Limerick kicking off their campaign against Clare. Like, I mean, that is as big a game as you could have. And Waterford on the football side are 70 minutes away from playing in the Sam Maguire Cup. Will it happen? Who knows? But Dublin and Wexford as well is vital in who gets out of the Leinster Championship. It's absolutely crucial. It has been for the last 5 years. So, yeah, very, very, very interesting weekend ahead. And, yeah, looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, exactly. So we won't probably do week in the Gaelic Games this week because there's been a lot to talk about, even with games and stuff like that. Maybe one thing, I suppose, Jarrett Burns on the GA Go podcast this week said that he was up for, and it's in discussions, to have All-Ireland finals back to September, if you heard it, Seamus. A lot of people wanted back to September, but then again, there was a lot of people complaining on social media again on the opposite side because of it affecting clubs. And that was my kind of onus for not having the games in September. I thought it was fine the way it was. I think pre-season competitions, ban those. But to have them back in September, if that was to happen, then it would be detrimental for the clubs. And what seems to be a good start to Jarrett Burns' reign, this kind of quote on that podcast, it's kind of questionable, small bit.
He's definitely, like, he spoke very well now at all times, I have to say. And you always have to be careful when you know, a quote is taken out of a whole discussion. Like, that was a podcast, a full episode. We do have to be careful when we watch a reel of what he said, when he said in, you know, an hour and a half long thing. What will tell is his actions. So in how he, you know, seems to be feeling towards the All-Ireland finals being in July, seems to be feeling towards how the system is currently. Because the reality is people are banging on about all the clubs. They moved them back to July and the clubs just followed. Like, the Dublin Hurling Championship had already kicked off by the time Dublin played Kerry in the All-Ireland football final last year. So moving it back to July changed nothing. And the All-Ireland football finals do have a bit of romanticism around being played in September. People, like especially old GA fans, they very much, when they think of the All-Ireland finals, they think of September. Like you look at any of the stories around GAA, it's always the first Sunday in September, the second Sunday in September. It's all they talk about is getting to Croke Park in September. And I think, yeah, like it's tied to then. If you're going to come with a plan of, you know, this is how we're going to separate the club championships from the All-Ireland series, and it was giving the players a break before the club kicks off. I'd actually be for it. Because I remember thinking in my head, I remember being like, well, July, like, you know, I do like the All-Ireland finals, having a break from the club season. But then they just didn't. They didn't. Nothing changed. It was all just earlier. And then we were left in a situation where, you know, they're all on top of each other and you can't keep track of what's going on. And what happened is our main product was completely squashed into a tiny window. Like, don't get me wrong, the club championships are fantastic and they do deserve the respect, but there's ways that we can work it. I would be saying to you again, yes, absolutely scrap the club champion. Sorry, not scrap the preseason competitions, but move the club championships maybe into that space. Like, look at something like that. That what if we were to have the All-Ireland finals in September and the club championships kicked off in October? And then they ran and then they finished with the finals being on St. Patrick's Day, just like they used to be. Like, there's something that maybe, like, it's something that we can explore. And I don't know if you've seen Aaron's episode yet, but me and Aaron did the pitch for tomorrow's episode. So Aaron's locked in for 5 o'clock. I'm locked in. Are you locked in for 5 o'clock tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tomorrow, lads, myself, Matthew and Aaron are doing an episode on my show where we call it the ideas for the GA. Ideas that we think potentially could be good things to add to the GA across five different categories. So the five categories that we have are category number one is respect and the fans' experience. Category two is the structure of the GA. Category three is rules and discipline. Category four is the GA calendar. And category five is content and promotion. So I actually am going to screen share in that episode. I'm going to screen share two calendars. I'm going to screen share the calendar that I've come up with for if it was in July, the finals, and the calendar I've come up with is if the finals were in September, and trying to find ways that I can make it work, trying to find ways that we can make it work as well, because obviously the Google Doc is shared between the three of us, but as in ideas of trying to keep it to that the players get a break between competitions, that the players have a life between competitions, but that we market and promote our game to the absolute best ability. So, yeah, exactly. I'm buzzing for that episode.
Exactly. I think I am as well. And yeah, it'll be an absolutely brilliant episode tomorrow night. Make sure you all tune into that episode. And maybe a few GA delegates will delve into the episode. I'm not sure. If they don't, you're lost, lads. But we'll move on to the action this weekend. And we'll move on to Derry and Donegal. And there is another controversy this week. There was a Dublin Meath game. But we will get on to that in a sec, because there is another game that could be a bit of a damn squib, but we'll move on to that in a sec. Firstly, on to competitive games. Derry against Donegal, the Ulster Senior Football Championship quarterfinal on Saturday at 6:15 p.m. on RT2, and that should be on BBC Two Northern Ireland as well. So we can watch on two channels. It's brilliant. And it is the battle of all ages. Mickey Hart against Jim McGuinness. Can't ask for much better, really.
Yeah, no, you certainly can't. And I was saying this to Aaron on his show, Gaelic Games Fan TV, obviously big shout out, is the rivalry between Jim McGuinness and Mickey Hart. What makes it so great and what makes this Derry Donegal clash so great is if you look at Jim McGuinness's rise with Donegal and you read his book and you look at Jimmy's Winning Matches documentary on YouTube, you'll see just how obsessed Jim McGuinness was with beating Mickey Hart and beating Mickey Hart's Tyrone side. Because you look at Tyrone in the 2000s, they won three All-Irelands in 03, 05 and 08, and they'd won back-to-back Ulster Championships in 2009 and 2010. And what was interesting is the 2010 Ulster Championship was not competitive. Everybody lay down to Tyrone. They waltzed to the Ulster title, and Jim McGuinness had to convince the Donegal team that they could beat Tyrone, because they hadn't done it in so long. And you could see that the target that Jim put was on Mickey Hart and on that Tyrone team. And a lot of people see that victory for Donegal against Tyrone in 2011 in the Ulster Championship as a result that convinced Donegal, we're doing something right here, we're moving in the right direction. And that was a massive, massive step forward for them in their progression under McGuinness. And that's why going into this game, the battle between Jim and Mickey Hart is going to be massive again, because you know fine well that we're in a similar situation here. Derry are back-to-back Ulster champions. Yes, I know Mickey Hart wasn't there for the two, but they're still carrying that momentum. They've won the league. They're seen as somewhat of an unstoppable juggernaut, especially in Ulster. And you know that Jim McGuinness, the minute that that draw was made and he seen that it was Derry that they were going to play in the first round of the Ulster Championship for them, you know that he would have had them absolutely prepared to the max for this game.
Exactly so, and it's going to be an absolutely thrilling encounter more than anything. And do you actually fear for Donegal in this game? I know they did well in Division 2. They were unbeaten. They did well in the division, obviously. But it is a step down to what Derry were used to in Division 1. And the performance they put in Croke Park against Dublin kind of emphasised that they are there to win the All-Ireland this year. And Mickey Hart is going to be hungry to win the All-Ireland. So is this probably the best opportunity that Mickey Hart has ever gotten to beat Jim McGuinness? With the sides that they have at their disposal at this present moment of time, do you think it's a big chance for Mickey Hart?
Yeah, it's as good a chance as he's had to beat Jim McGuinness, no question about it. Because while that Tyrone team was amazing, that was on the tail end of the golden generation. And a couple of years after 2011, like most of that Tyrone squad, like your Philip Jordans, your own Mulligans, like they were gone. They'd left the side. So that is, you know, that was the tail end of it. This Derry team is on absolute peak. This is the best this Derry team has ever been. And a lot of people might think that this is the best that this Derry team will ever be. They're ready to go. They have to go and win silverware now. So for Jim McGuinness coming into this game again, it's somewhat perfect because nobody expects anything from Donegal. As in, like, nobody expects them to beat them. If Donegal go out there and lose by 2 points, nobody's going to be going, wow, Donegal, what happened there? Losing in Ulster to Derry. People be like, well, Derry, you're, you know, going for the All-Ireland. Donegal played well. Signs there of improvement. The one thing that isn't being talked about, and it has to be, is who Donegal are missing, man. Like, they're missing McBrearty. That is massive. Like, Ryan McHugh, we don't know how fit he is. We don't know how fit Owen Bongallagher is. Darrell Boyle didn't play in the league final. Is he fit? Like, there's a lot of questions to be asked about what 15 Donegal are going to take to the field with. I think they need everybody at their disposal. I think this is the type of game that is very dangerous for Mickey Hart. Because if you're looking at it, hype has always been something that's been dangerous. And all of the most successful teams, they've all successfully killed the hype around the team. You look at 2019 when Dublin were going for the 5 in a row. That should have been a roller coaster of hype around the team. Silence. Do not discuss the 5 in a row. Do not talk about it because you'll only ramp the pressure up on yourselves. And for Derry, I think when they won the league final and you saw them just shake hands with Dublin, Conor Glass goes up, takes the league trophy, lifts it, and then brings it down. They didn't do a big parade celebration for the league title because I think that they were like, this isn't the one that we want, lads. And if they celebrate like madmen after winning the league final, I think a lot of people would then just be like, the hype level would be on another level.
Yeah, it's a very good point, actually, because when you look at Mayo, for example, in 2019, they celebrated the league like they won All-Ireland, yeah. Or even the... I don't want to bully Mayo and all this and say this isn't the reason they win the All-Ireland, but they did go overkill with them celebrations in 2019, the league, and especially in that semi-final against Dublin.
That's what I mean, is that when you're saying you don't want to go harsh on them, but they do it all the time. They always over-celebrate. They always call victory too early. So Derry, I think, handled it really, really well. Because I think that by doing that, I think they were very much like, this isn't the one that we want. We want the All-Ireland. And they very much set the standard of, all right, calm down. We won the league. Big whoop. We're on to the All-Ireland now.
Yeah. And that's what makes Derry such a good team and such a dangerous team to even comprehend that they're going to win the All-Ireland. And let's not forget as well, like Derry were Division 4 in 2019, and Division 4 against Leitrim. They've gone 2 in a row in Ulster. They've won Division 1. They're going for 3 in a row in Ulster. And if they win the All-Ireland, it's a miraculous recovery. So, like, we talk about, and I'm sure we're going to talk about Cork being in a nothing game in a second, Meath were in a nothing game kind of last week against Dublin. Do them kind of counties need to look up to Derry? Because, like, the performances that Derry have put in over the last few seasons, despite being a Division 4 team as recently as 5 years ago, and the performance level they're put up now, it's incredible, really. And the levels that they go up on, and they're just a credit to the whole country, as Jarrett Byrne rightly said in that post-match speech.
What counties did you say could take them as an example?
Meath and Cork in particular.
Yeah, Meath, Cork, Kildare as well is another one. That they should be looking at Derry and being like, how on earth have they done that? Because Cork have the potential to do that. I think Kildare have the potential to do that, and Meath have the potential to do that. And when you look at how Meath have been stuck in the mud for a decade, it's remarkable that like we're in a position where they've been going one step forward, two steps back for the last decade, and Derry have just flicked the switch and completely turned it around. And they deserve all the credit in the world for it. You would look at Down maybe and say, look, that's a very good example of how fast you can rise as well. And they're definitely leading the way in that regard, no doubt about it. And they're in a position now where there's a lot expected of them. It'll be very interesting to see how they deal with it. I think that Donegal will make it difficult for them, very difficult for them. But I think that Derry will win in the end. I'm going to go by... I'll say 4 points, but I'll say 4 points would be slightly flattering. I think Derry might pull away in the last 5 minutes.
I think they could as well. I think Derry will win this game eventually. But yeah, we're both going for a Derry win. But just on Donegal for a sec before we go on to the next game, is there more pressure on Oisin Gallan more than ever this game? Because you mentioned previously, Paddy McBrayer, he's out for it, and he is an exceptional forward. Obviously, there are other forwards like Pat O'Boke could still score a lot in this game, I'd imagine. Or Doherty performed well at stages in the league. But the main guy other than Paddy McBrayer is Oisin Gallan. I think we all know that. Is there more pressure on him come Sunday, do you think?
Absolutely. And he's going to get the Chrissy McCaig treatment in this game. And Chrissy's one of the toughest defenders to be picked up by. Gallan has, you know, consistently been this potential player for Donegal. And this year is the year that we're starting to see him like fully. I know he was very good last year in patches, but this year mainly is the year that he, right from the start, has looked like he's fulfilling the potential that we all know he undoubtedly possesses. Chrissy McCaig will be his toughest test, though, I think, in a long time. And especially in Championship, and the fact that Donegal are turning to him a lot for the scores, it's going to be a big game for Oisin Gallan.
It's going to be massive, and it's going to be a massive game overall. And a lot of people tune in, I'd imagine. Moving on to the other Ulster semi-final, and it is Cavan against Tyrone on a 4 p.m. on Saturday, live on BBC Two Northern Ireland. And a comment went in here about this game. Well, it isn't news just in. I think that this was news that broke actually this morning. Fergal Logan will be back with Tyrone this weekend on the sideline. It's great to see, obviously, and great to see he has recovered from illness, and brilliant that Fergal Logan is back at the sideline with Brian Dewar. But yeah, it's brilliant that Tyrone have the guy at the joint manager back there. But Cavan could sense blood here. I think Cavan could cause a real surprise here in this game.
Yeah, I think there's sometimes, and I was saying this to Aaron, there's sometimes you just look at a game and you just think, that's on. There's something about that game that just, there's something that could happen there. You look at Wicklow Kildare last week, that I know Wicklow didn't win, but by God, they should have. That game was there for them. And I think that particularly this week, they'll be sitting there thinking, how on earth have we left that one behind us? You look at this game, Cavan against Tyrone, and there's just something about it that is just like the way Cavan beat Monaghan, and how, pair that with how inconsistent a Tyrone have been in the league. And then there was a comment in on Aaron's video. I'm not sure if it's 100% true, but if it is, it's not great that David Mulgrew and Michael McLean have both stepped away from the Tyrone panel. So that's two more lads gone. So like an exodus continuing there in Tyrone, which like you wonder, why are all these players stepping away? And that leaves them in a position where Cavan, who are very well drilled, know their system and have, you know, a forward in the form of Paddy Lynch. It's a dangerous game for Tyrone.
It is. It definitely is. And considering the performances in the league, I wouldn't be confident going into this game as a Tyrone fan. I think Tyrone, this is a game that they should win. But it is a game that, as you rightly said there, it's on. Tyrone could easily get turned over here because of their performance in the league. They've been really, really poor. Kid Cuddy saying, Matthew is spending too much time with John McMahon, still hurts Cavan beating Monaghan. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, Kate, but we'll move
straight yeah, you're, on you're there. Being hit with the cabin propaganda.
No, it's just the fact that I'm just like, you look at Tyrone's performances in the league, and a lot of Tyrone fans went on about, okay, we're all the contenders, and we could have dominated the rest of the country since 2021. Here is some stone cold facts about Tyrone. Since the All-Ireland final against Mayo, in the two appearances in Croke Park, they've got hammered both times against Dublin and Kerry. When you look at the years since 2021, they got schooled by Derry in the Ulster Championship. They got knocked out by Armagh that season as well. And 2023, if John Hazen knocked that free over rather than put it wide, Tyrone could have been out of the Championship early. So my point is, Tyrone have underachieved over the last two seasons. And Cavan, I just feel they could even pounce on that vulnerability from Tyrone.
They could. It's definitely like the type of game that I think that they'll be in training this week thinking, we're going to beat these. Like, I really think that Cavan, it wouldn't be like a Derry situation where they know their backs are against the wall going into this week. It's Tyrone who have shown themselves to be more beatable than Derry. And Cavan are coming with a system, they're coming with an identity about how they play, and on top of that, they know who their starting 15 is. Tyrone, I've no idea who they're going to go with. I know who the key players are going to be. I know it's Dara Canavan up front, Party Hamsey in defence, Kilpatrick and Kennedy at midfield, but apart from that, I don't have a breeze who's going to be playing anywhere else. And Cavan know who they're going with. They know the system. They're well drilled. They're well organised. And I think it's a type of situation where I think Tyrone have the potential to be at their best an 8 out of 10 team, and say Cavan are a 7 out of 10 team, but Tyrone have the potential to turn up 5 out of 10, and Cavan are more consistent than Tyrone. So I think this is a dangerous one for Tyrone, but my prediction ultimately for this game is I think Dara Canavan is going to drag them kicking and screaming into the Ulster semi-final. I think this is going to be a performance where Dara Canavan saves Tyrone's bacon.
Interesting. The normal prediction would be to back Tyrone in this game. Spoiler alert, lads, I think this will be my shot card for the weekend. I'm going to go for Cavan to beat them.
Nice. Very interesting.
I just feel this Tyrone team, other than Dara Canavan and potentially Rory Canavan, are overrated. And we've seen it in the league. I just think, look at their league form. They only beat Monaghan and Roscommon, who went down, first of all. And like, we've seen that Cavan did beat Monaghan themselves, so they're capable of what Tyrone are capable of. And you look to the other game that they won against Mayo, they were terrible in the first half. They were awful. And then the second half, Darren Curry comes on and changes the game completely. I just think Tyrone are way too inconsistent. And you look at
the only thing is that Hamsey's there and Cavan were so reliant on Paddy Lynch, especially in that first half. So if Paddy Lynch has a bad day, Cavan are in big trouble. I know you can say the same about Dara Canavan.
That's the thing.
But I think it's like that going into this game, would you rather have Dara Canavan or would you rather have Paddy Lynch?
I'd probably rather have Dara Canavan. But as a teammatic, I'd rather have Cavan's teammatic.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And that's my probably basis of predicting Cavan to win this game. I just feel there's more of a togetherness in Cavan, exemplified by the lads leaving, David Mulgrew and Michael McLean. Like, Michael McLean was a star in the under-20s and he's just left the panel. Paul Donaghy, where's he gone? You know, Conor Myers nowhere to be seen. I don't know, is he injured or is Myers still there.
But you are right that you look at, for example, what made Tyrone so good, in my opinion, was they literally always had somebody snapping at the heels who was ready to jump into the team. They always had, like, your Lee Brennans, your Paul Donaghy's, your David Mulgrews, your Niall Sluddens, who anytime any of the Kieran McGeary's or anything dropped the ball, that they were ready to jump in. Now Brian Duher over the last 2 years has had a situation where Kieran McGeary hasn't been performing particularly well and other players haven't been performing particularly well, but he has no option but to keep playing them. So the loss of you know, your Paul Donaghy's, your Michael McLean's, it hits at the base of the squad because now you have no competition for places compared to what you used to have. You look at the Limerick Hurlers, so much competition for places. You look at the Dublin Footballers in the 2010s, so much competition for places. It pushes the level up of what is your starting 15 to an unbelievable level if you know that there's people waiting at your heels, waiting to take your spot.
And that's the main point with Tyrone. But we're going for differing predictions there for Cavan and Tyrone. Seamus is predicting Tyrone, I'm predicting Cavan. We'll have to see what happens on Sunday. Moving on to another intriguing game, more or less, because the sides are nearly evenly matched. It is Roscommon against Mayo in the Connacht Senior Football Championship semi-final on Sunday at 4 p.m. on RT2. And just mentioning the television there, Padraig came in with an interesting comment here, showing Roscommon and Mayo 4 p.m. That's on 2 p.m. at telly. Should be the other way around, from a great game to a bad game coming from a Rossi. Your thoughts on that before we get into the tactics and stuff in the game? Because I found it interesting as well that Limerick and Clare was before the curtain raiser, more or less, to Roscommon and Mayo.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be the other way around. I think you ask anybody what game they're looking forward to more going into the weekend, it's Clare-Limerick. It's the two sides that, like, I know Kilkenny have been great, but I think Clare and Limerick have definitely over the last 2 years, they've given us the greatest, like, right up there with the greatest games of hurling we've ever seen on more than one occasion. So we're all expecting big things this year. And like Clare are kind of widely seen as being maybe the only team that can stop Limerick from gaining immortality, or probably the best bet of stopping Limerick doing the five in a row. So the fact that they're playing in Clare is going to be an absolutely massive test. And the fact that that's kicking off the championship and it's on a 2, whereas Roscommon Mayo is on a 4, it is confusing.
It is actually, and we'll get on to Limerick and Clare in a bit. That's an outstanding game to look forward to. But for Roscommon and Mayo, like, do you feel the shock element is going out of this game because of the way Roscommon played in the league? Do you think he'll be playing sailing? Well, obviously, he's never playing sailing for Mayo. They'll find some hard way to win the game like they usually do. But would you say Mayo are clear favourites in this game because of Roscommon's form in the league?
I'd say they definitely are favourites, but I wouldn't be surprised if Roscommon win this game. I think that if you look at, particularly from a Davy Burke standpoint, him personally, I think he would have been very hurt by Roscommon's relegation, because anytime Roscommon lost, like he came out and gave that ridiculous, you know, oh, we've 67 training sessions done already, which you are thinking, why on earth would you do 67 training sessions by February? Like, look up burnout, there's your definition right there. But then on top of that, like, you know that he would have been constantly, like, he gives off this energy that he constantly wants to prove how good Roscommon actually are, constantly prove that they can compete with the big boys. So to get relegated, I feel like, would have really hurt, but there's no way to quickly remedy that, like beating Mayo in the Connacht Championship to put yourself into the final. I think that would be a perfect way to heal those wounds. And if they can cap that off with a Connacht Championship, I think he would absolutely snap your hand off for that opportunity. So I think it's a dangerous game for Mayo. Like, I'm being honest, I really think it's a dangerous game for Mayo. I will go with them to win. I'm gonna go with them by 5 points, but I think Roscommon will be right there with them. Mayo will have a good third quarter and then kind of see it out a little bit from there.
Interesting. We'll move. Padraig has another comment here. I wouldn't be surprised if we beat Mayo. Mayo aren't great either, but yes, I could see Mayo going on to win Connacht and yet being another All Ireland. That's just Mayo all over, really. Look, I'd say Mayo are favourites because of the Roscommon form in the league, but we've seen it before. I think actually, Roscommon got relegated in 2019. And then they beat Mayo and Galway in the Connacht Championship. And there could be an element of history repeating itself. So, like that's the thing with Roscommon. They could have a poor league and then turn up in the Championship and perform well. Because we know Roscommon have some brilliant players on the team. Like the likes of Enda Smith, Derek Craig, Ben O'Carroll, if he's back in the team. I'm not sure of his fitness status. Connor Cox, Dermot Murtagh. Obviously, they're missing Kieran Murtagh. That's a huge loss. Rory Fallon was one of a few good performers in the league, in fairness, and for St. Bridget's club as well. So Roscommon are well capable of causing a shock too.
They certainly, yeah. And like, that's the reason why is that they did it last year. I mean, you look at the performance that they put in against Mayo last year, and this is a Mayo team that was coming fresh off the back of a Division One title. My vibe with it is that McStay has gone the other way. Like, last year we won the league. What did it matter for? Nothing really. We got knocked out by Roscommon in the Connacht Championship, and all that goodwill was taken away. So Mayo didn't seem like they were that pushed on winning the league this year. They seemed like they were quite happy to just stay up middle of the table, and that's what they did. So I think that kind of shows that McStay might have learned a lesson, and the ultimate proof of whether or not he has learned that lesson is Mayo winning this game. And I think they're going to do it.
Yeah, I think Mayo are going to win this game as well. But Roscommon, I think, will actually put in a performance in this game. I think it'll be tight at halftime. Maybe even Roscommon will lead at the break. But I think Mayo should get over the line in the end. And Mayo need a Connacht title, because I think the last Connacht title they got, disregarding COVID, was 2015. So
that's mental, isn't it? Because I remember at that time, Mayo were seen as like, you know, oh, boring, Mayo are going to win the Connacht title again.
Exactly. And yeah, that's the thing with Mayo. And I think Mayo should win this game anyway. They need a Connacht title just for Kevin McStay to get a bit of confidence into the team. And they look good, in fairness, in the last game against New York. Ryan O'Donoghue was exceptional in that game, and you'd imagine he will be again. And we talk about Shock and David versus Goliath games. This game, I don't know what to think. That shouldn't be on GAA Go. Sorry about that. It is Sligo against Galway, the Connacht Senior Football Championship semi-final on Saturday at 3:30. It's not on GAA Go. I'll edit that out. But yeah, that's an interesting game as well, because Sligo were in good form, really, in Division 3. But at the same time, Galway are Division 1 for a reason. They are losing a lot of players, in fairness. Damien Comer was injured. Shane Walsh was injured. I don't know where they're going to be back for this game. But in fairness, like, Sligo, could they cause a shock here on Saturday? Because, look, an All-Ireland place is on the line for them.
An All-Ireland place is on the line for them. And then, like, Markovic Park as well, that factor, you'd imagine the place would be rocking. My honest thoughts on it is I don't think that it's something that's going to happen. Do I think that Sligo are going to beat Galway? No. Do I think that Sligo are drastically improving? Yes, I do. I think the under-20 success, I think, is starting to ripple into the senior team. I think they are managing it correctly. You look at the confidence, you look at the belief, you look at the attitude that these under-20 lads are coming into the side with, people like Hannes Mulligan already putting a stamp on the team. Like, they're definitely growing in confidence, no question about it. And I think one of the coolest things to see is the attitude of Hannes Mulligan when he was like, well, we're a effing big dog now. Like, things like that, that if they're coming into the Sligo senior team with that attitude, it definitely helps, because it puts that belief back in the side that, yeah, we can compete with these counties. And I think putting in a good performance here against Galway would be very, very beneficial to them. You look at, like, what Westmead were able to do in the All-Ireland series, and then the fact that Sligo beat them. Like, I personally don't think the Sligo are going to win this game, but I do think that Sligo will make it quite tricky for Galway. I think Galway, you're right, are missing a lot of players. Like, Killian McDade, it won't be there either, on top of Walsh and Comer. No Tom O'Callaghan either. And then they don't have Peter Cook this year. Like, there's a lot of players that are missing. And so going into this game, they're having to use their deeper squad more so than they ever have had to before. I do still think Galway will win. But I'm saying Galway by 5. I really don't think it will be an easy game for Galway like it was last year. I think Sligo have drastically improved, and I think Galway aren't as good as they were this time last year either.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky game, I think, for Galway more than anything, because the game is on at Markovic Park as well, which could be a fortress for Sligo. Really good. And the fact that Sam McGuire plays things are on the line as well, I will say, like, Galway do have the talent and they should get over the line this game. And in fairness, in the league, they weren't like many other teams where it was a capitulation and things like that. So I think genuinely they got unlucky with the injuries that they got with Walsh and Comer. Matthew Tierney, is he going to be back for this game? I'm not sure. Was he there for the London game? I'm not sure either. But he's another guy that he needs to come in. He performed well in this very fixture last season against Sligo. So, but at the same time, like, Sligo, they seem to be getting better as they go when you think about it. Like, Niall Murphy's doing well, Sean Carabine. You have Canis Mulligan, who excelled in the last game against Leitrim and got them over the line in that one. And you have forwards like Pat Spillane, who's doing really well at the moment in the Sligo team. So, like, Sligo, if they were to get beat by under what you're saying, 5 points or under, would that be a success for Tony McAtee's team, do you think?
It would definitely be something to build on going into the next couple of years. That, like, that's a marked sign of improvement. I think if you were to look at, we've got good examples in the past. Like, you look at, say, 2020, Derry were nowhere near the Ulster Championship. 2021, they lost Donegal by a point, I think it was. And it was a Mac Brearty screamer at the end, which won the game for Donegal. And I think Derry could have gone back and looked at that and been like, you know what? We're close. We're very close to Donegal here. So that in 2022, when they got to the Ulster final, they were like, well, we were close to these last year. We're a lot better this year. Let's finish them off. And they got the win. I think that yardstick can be used by Sligo to look at, okay, well, we were whatever, 16, 17 points off them last year. If in 1 year we close that gap to 5 points, 6 points, we're doing something right. And I think that could be at play here.
Yeah, I think Sligo will do themselves very proud, no doubt about it. I do think Galway will win the game, but I think it'll be tricky. I think in the first half, Sligo will definitely give it to them. But then the second half, Galway should pull away with the talent that they have in the team. Even without the lads like Walsh, Combe or Tierney, they still have Killian O'Kareem, who's a brilliant player. Robbie Finnerty, who's outstanding as well. They should win this game, simple as, Galway. Mm-hmm. And but Sligo will definitely do themselves proud. After two very entertaining previews there in the Connaughton Ulster Championship, we move on to the Munster Senior Football Championship semi-final, Kerry against Cork, Saturday at 4 p.m. on GAA in Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney. I am going to this game as well. But to be honest, Seamus, is there any point in talking about this game? Kerry are clearly going to win this.
Yeah, I think there is I wouldn't be as dismissive of Cork now that you're being. I don't think it's as bad as Meath and Dublin. Like, the fact is, Cork do raise their game for playing against Kerry. And you look at last year's game, Cork were, you know, only that penalty away from it. But I do get it. Like, Kerry should win. They do have better players and they did finish higher, way higher in the league. But the reality is Cork were sticky for Kerry last year. And, like, Kerry couldn't really break them down. And Cork are good at sitting back and being difficult to break down and difficult to beat, difficult to score against. And I think it's the type of game where Cork will get themselves into a bit of a siege mentality and try make it as difficult as possible for Kerry. My prediction is, I said Kerry by 7 on Aaron's podcast, but I think it'll be a 7 that slightly flatters Kerry. I think Cork will make it a very difficult first half, and then Kerry will hit like 2 goals or something in the third quarter and then kind of manage it out from there. But it will be like a 5 minutes where Cork make a few mistakes and Kerry win based off that.
Like, we'll mention obviously the tactics and stuff like that. We will mention it later on. But look at the Dublin Mee game. It was 21,000 at Croke Park last week. And I know we're moving into Dublin Mee, but this is kind of a similar game when you think about Kerry and Dublin, similar trajectories, Mee and Cork, similar trajectories as well. What do you think the attendance will be in Killarney on Saturday? Do you think it'll be half full? Do you think it'll be quarter full? What do you think?
I wouldn't know. I'm being honest. I wouldn't know. Like, what was the attendance last year at Kerry Cork?
It was something like, I think it was about 10,000 in Parky Keith, even if that.
I'd say something similar then.
That's why
I'm saying when we were talking about Jarlett Burns talking about moving the All Ireland finals back. Look, the reality is more people showed up to the games back then. You know, about the condensed season, it annoys fans because, you know, it feels like we don't have time to enjoy it. What it feels like, it's a bit of a mad analogy, but what the GAA Championship feels like, it feels like going to like a 5-star restaurant and getting like the most delicious food put in front of you and then getting told that you have to eat it in 5 minutes. Like, you feel like you don't have time to enjoy it. You feel like one game is extraordinary and then they're just like, on to the next one. And you're like, hold on, wait, we're not going to talk about it. Like, no, we have another game coming up. Like, no replays, no, like, no preview shows. I know, again, don't get sidetracked, but if you get what I mean, that's what it feels like to me watching. It's like the most gorgeous gourmet meal in front of you. Clare Limerick this weekend, Donegal Derry. On the 17th of April, we're talking about it. Why on earth are we talking about it now? Like, crazy.
There's a lot of controversies around this game, and it isn't on the field to play. It's off the field as well. The match is on GAA Go, and we'll talk about Dublin Wexford a bit. I'm sure you're angry that that's not shown live. Do you think Cork and Kerry should be shown live this weekend, considering it is most likely going to be a Kerry Waltz victory in many of us?
I wouldn't say so, no. I think GAA Go is probably the right place for it. Personally, like, Cork have been hard done by in the GAA Go thing. There's no question about it. But I think if you're to analyse the games this weekend, you want to analyze, you want to put on the ones that are the most likely to be 50-50s. Like, and then I think you need to go Derry Donegal, you need to go Roscommon Mayo, and then you need to put a couple of hurling games as well. And like with the GAA Go stuff, I always understood why people were annoyed when, you know, most games would be on GAA Go and stuff like this, but I still much prefer this to 15 years ago when it wasn't being shown.
True, yeah.
Like, so at least the opportunity is there that you can watch it. Look, there's other Cork games that, like, absolutely, I've seen the list that aren't being shown on national TV, and you would think, you know, come on, like Cork Limerick, for example, like that should be, that's going to be a cracker. Like that should be on RT.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably should be. But to be honest, it's mainly because I don't think Cork and Kerry should be shown at all, considering like Dublin Wexford isn't getting shown this weekend.
Goodness gracious. I thought you were going to argue for it to be on RTE, not argue for it to be not shown at all.
Considering the games that aren't shown this weekend, and this is basically the best that GAA Go could offer on Saturday, it just seems like a bit of a downer. I don't know what... Well, obviously for Cork and Kerry fans, they want the rivalry to stay alive and things like that. But for the neutrals, for someone up in Westmeath or Longford or Galway, what must they be thinking looking at this and saying, why is this game on? This is going to be a one-sided game. What's the point of watching this? It's like Dublin Mead.
Dublin Mead, yeah. Dublin Mead was like, I don't know. Mead showed up ready to lose.
And do you think Cork would be...
That's not a controversial thing to say, by the way. Listen to any quotes that Colm O'Rourke gave. Pretty much says it himself.
And do you think Cork will turn up to Killarney thinking in their heads, we've already lost this?
No, I really don't. I really don't. I think Cork... When I watched them, particularly in the 2020 game, and I know that, obviously, that's a world ago. That's a different life ago. But you look at it, and particularly early on, I remember Cork turning Kerry over and getting freeze, and they really gave off this vibe that, like, we believe we can beat you. Like, players like Sean Powter and Brian Hurley, that they seemed to think that they could beat Kerry, and they did. They beat them. And people saying, oh, smash and grab, yeah, Kerry were useless. Yeah, they were useless that night, but Cork still beat them. You still have to beat them. Like, Kildare were useless against Wicklow. Wicklow still didn't win. And, like, there's examples of that kind of across the board of when a team is there for the taking that somebody doesn't take them. Cork put Kerry away. Last-minute goal by Mark Keane, whatever you want to say, still won. Still got the job done. And the reality is that in the game last year, again, I thought Cork went into that game thinking they could beat Kerry. And if it wasn't for the David Clifford penalty, they might have. So I think Cork will go into this game with an underdog mentality. They're going to sit in. They're going to make it difficult for Kerry. I don't think they're going to win, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
It's an interesting win. And then I'd be more pessimistic about this game. I think Kerry could run amok us, to be honest with you. And it's just,
but I am fascinated to dig a bit deeper, man. And like, why is that the case? Because Kerry don't look as good as they did this time last year.
There's still a fire in the belly, Seamus. There's still a fire in the belly. Especially after the Croke Park game in the league. Like, a lot of people rolled off Kerry. This might be a game where Jack O'Connor's team will say, boom, we're back.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think it could be a statement game that they could send out a message to Dublin and Derry that, like, we're coming for that All-Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel as well, at the same time, I think Meath, I'll compare Meath and Cork in this as well, because they're two similar trajectories, as I said. I do think Meath play nice football, and it's great to watch and all that. And for them to get beaten by 16 points to Dublin last week, I was thinking, I wasn't feeling optimistic going into the Kerry game, because Cork played the absolute opposite. They played terrible style of football. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that the players pass the ball backwards when we're losing the game and when we're drawing the game. Yes, we got a few wins in the league and stuff like that, but we only beat Meath by 4 points. And Meath got hammered last weekend. That's my thinking. I just think, I might be a bit pessimistic over this. I think Kerry will win the game, but I think it'll be a different kind of scenario to what you're thinking. I think Kerry could run amok us, to be honest with you.
It's interesting, yeah. And like, look, Kerry do have the firepower to put anybody to bed. I just don't think Cork will go down that easy. Like, the way that Clare went down in the Munster final last year, the way that Loud went down in the group stage, I don't see Cork going down that easy. But it'll be an interesting one.
Before we get on to the other Munster semi-final, what would you consider the difference between Meath and Cork? The fact that Cork won't get hammered and Meath obviously did.
Very good question. Number one, Cork have beaten Kerry recently. A lot of the lads on the panel were actually on the panel the last time they did. Number two, Cork, they have a bit more of a dog in them, I think. I think if you put Cork and Meath against each other in a scrap, like a fight game, I think Cork win. Cork have also shown more ability to compete against other teams around the country. So Cork have beaten the likes of Mayo. They've beaten the likes of Roscommon. That if they were in this game against Kerry, I don't think we'd be picking Kerry to slap them up. Meath, on the other hand, have beaten nobody. That makes me impressed. Like, yeah, sure, they beat Down, who also got beaten by Westmeath. That's the best win that Meath team has picked up in the last 2 years. And then the other thing as well, the last games against Kerry that they've lost have been close. Meath have got nowhere near Dublin. And on top of that, they seem to have a management team that are like dead set on beating Kerry. Meath's management team on the weekend, I found, seemed like they were completely content losing to Dublin. We're not content, but accepting of it.
It's interesting opinions. One more point I'll make on this. Meath beat Loud in the league. Cork lost them. So, you could argue...
Meath beat Loud. Cork lost to them. Where was the game?
Cork's was in RD and Meath was in Navan.
That's what I think the difference is. I think Loud would have beaten Meath in RD.
Interesting. Will
and Loud should have won. Loud should have won. It was in Port Talton. Loud missed sitters at the end.
Yeah, we're both going for Kerry to win this game. And,
also, one more point. Cork's team is a lot more settled. Meath chop and change every year. 1 year it's Ben Brennan. Next year it's Mickey Newman. Next year it's Killian O'Sullivan. Next year it's Donal Lennon. Then Thomas O'Reilly. In and out, moving parts every year. Cork, it's Brian Hurley. It's Ian Maguire at midfield with Colm O'Callaghan. Sean Meehan, Morris Shanley, they're the key defenders, and it hasn't really changed in a while. So they know what they're coming with.
Yeah, we're both going for Kerry to win this game. Hopefully it'll be a close game. Hopefully. Like, imagine the scenes of Cork actually beat Kerry and I'd be celebrating up in the terrace in Killarney. Be just unreal. But I don't think it'll be happening. I don't think it'll be. Don't think it will happen this weekend, but we'll have to see. Denise has just joined chat saying, hello, Matthew and Seamus. Have you done the previous of Connacht games? I'm only after joining. We have, Denise. So actually, in live streams, you can actually go back to the Connacht game. We did those second. We did Ulster first. So if you want to check those, you can if you wish. One more football game, and it is Waterford against Clare in Friar Field on Saturday at 6 p.m. You said at the start of the chat, Waterford are 70 minutes away from the All-Ireland series. And it was a brilliant win against Tipperary. The performance from Tom O'Connell was just exceptional and inspirational, the celebration more than anything. It was probably my favourite moment of the summer already. But Clare, they're on a different level. They were very unlucky to lose to Westmeath in Division 3. They were so close to promotion. They've run Dublin close as recently as last year as well. They've beaten sides like Cork last season. Like, when you factor that all in, it looks like a Clare win. But then again, will the win against Tipperary give Waterford the belief that they can go on and win again?
So it'll definitely give them a lot of belief. And like, Waterford are coming into this game with, like, out of nowhere, hope and a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. But man, I can't see them beating Clare. It kills me to say this, but I can't see them beating Clare. Like, it's just, it's nothing against Clare and it's nothing against any team, but by God, you always root for the underdog, don't you? And you always root for what would be a fairy tale story. And if Waterford had to make it to the Sam Maguire Cup football, All-Ireland football, it would be spectacular. It just would defy any logic. I mean, this is the team that has finished rock bottom of the Allianz League like the last, what, 4 or 5 years in a row? How many years has it been since Waterford won a game in the league? And then they've won their first game in Munster since 2010 this year. Like, if they're then to go back from that and beat Clare, a team that have been in Division 2 for a decade and who've been reaching Munster finals and All-Ireland quarterfinals, like, it would just make no sense. And that's the things that we love in the sport. It would just defy all logic if they were to do it. And my heart hopes that they do. My head says that they definitely won't. Like, I would be absolutely stunned if they were to do it. But Clare have been very impressive. They should have got out of Division 3. It was the crazy decision with the Westmeath goal that prevented them getting out of Division 3. And yeah, I think I was impressed by them. I was impressed by their turnover in terms of how they've dealt with all those players stepping away. And I do think they will win by 10 plus. But what a result it would be if Waterford were to pull it off somehow.
It'll be absolutely outstanding if they can do it. And I'm like yourself, and I do have past relations with Waterford as well, and all that. And that's another reason I want them to do well in this game and win it. But my head is saying, yeah, Clare will hammer them. I'm sorry, but it's just, it will be the ultimate fairy tale story if Waterford managed to win this game. It would be story of the year. I go as far as that. To win two games in Munster.
I think it would be. It would just, unless like Limerick do the 5 in a row. But like, it's outrageous if they pull this off.
Even then, like if Limerick do win the 5 in a row, we'll get onto the hurlers in the second. Now, that's expected. This would be the most unexpected thing to ever happen in Gaelic games.
To ever happen. But it might well be. That's just the craziest thing about it is. But to ever happen sounds bizarre, but at the same time, it actually isn't factually incorrect.
It would remind me actually of London reaching the Connacht final in 2013. Remember that?
Yeah. Except I think it's even more surprising this one. Because when London beat Sligo, I remember when London beat Sligo, everybody looked at the Leitrim game and was like, if they beat Sligo. Whereas it's the other way around this time. I think if Waterford had beaten Clare in the quarterfinal and Tipperary stood between them and the Munster final, I think we'd actually all be tipping Waterford to win. But if, yeah, I think the other way around, it's just something like, no, I'm so sorry, but just no, I don't see it happening, unfortunately. I would absolutely love if it did, but I don't see it happening.
Funny comment in here from Jack. Seamus, you already were quoted here, Waterford are 70 minutes away from the Munster.
Literally, they're 70 minutes away from the All-Ireland series. Like,
yeah.
A team that have, like, my goodness, like, what on earth? I don't even know. I'm trying to think of funny stats, like, to try and sum it up. I think Paul Mannion kicked more points in the Dublin Mead game than Waterford have championship wins in the last decade.
Yeah.
Like, sums it up. And if they're going to get to a Munster final in the All-Ireland series, mental.
It'll be unreal. And I think a lot of the, every one of the neutrals will actually want Waterford to win this game. No disrespect. Obviously, Clare, they've had their own story. They've had their own journey. And what a year they've had, even missing the 11 players and Colin Collins leaving as manager. Mark Fitzgerald's done an outstanding job. But I'd say most neutrals in the country want Waterford to win this. But as you said before, this is a Clare team that have faced against Dublin, against Cork, against Meath, against Kildare, and done really, really well against Mayo, and have done really, really well in those games. How on earth, I don't see a way that they lose to Waterford, in all honesty. I think Clare will get the job done. So that is the football wrapped up this weekend. Then we will move on to the hurling. From the Munster Senior Football Championship to the Munster Senior Hurling Championship, we'll start off with Clare against Limerick on Sunday, 2 p.m. on RT2. And just a shameless plug here, actually. I wrote an article for the Limerick Voice newspaper about the drive for five for Limerick. I was interviewing TJ Ryan, and obviously he hopes, along with most of the Limerick fans, that Limerick will do the five in a row. Check that out if you haven't already on the Limerick Voice newspaper or online as well. It's online from today as well. So, yeah, this is a big game, Clare against Limerick. And I was talking to Aaron about this yesterday. That podcast will be out tomorrow, I think, the Hurling Review show on his channel, Gale Games Fan TV. That this game is crucial for both sides because it's a chance to stamp their authority in the Munster Championship, number one. And number two, it's a chance to silence the doubters on maybe missing out on the knockout stages in the All-Ireland Series too.
It certainly is. And like, obviously we're in a season this year where Limerick just stand at the gates of history. Like, so all eyes are going to be on them from the get-go. And on top of that, we were talking about their league semi-final where they got beaten by Kilkenny. And I was saying, I remember we were saying at the time, like, we both still fully back Limerick. But at the same time, I was saying, we've seen the Invincibles look vulnerable for the first time in so long. And it was weird seeing Kilkenny put the goals in and beat them quite comfortably. Maybe it was a bit of trickery by Limerick to, you know, lose that game. And I think, I wouldn't say you'd ever go out and want to lose, but I think maybe John Kiley was sitting there after they lost and was like, actually, all right. We get time to rest. And because Clare coming up is going to be one hell of a game. And Clare, the fact that they won the league, they have been on the road more recently. It's going to be very, very interesting, this game. I cannot wait. I think this is game of the weekend. I think all eyes have to be on this game from a hurling perspective. Obviously, from a football perspective, it's Donegal Derry. But from a hurling perspective, this is the game to watch. This is the team that are standing on the gates, at the doorstep of history, on the brink of becoming a team for the ages, that they already are, but on the brink of becoming the team of hurling, like the best team of all time. Undisputed as well. Nobody has ever gone where they're trying to go. And if they can pull it off, it's just extraordinary. And Clare are probably the best matchup for them to try and stop them. When you look at, like, styles make fights, and when you look at how Kilkenny just didn't have an answer for Limerick last year, but yet Kilkenny could beat Clare. Clare give a much different challenge to Limerick. And they have consistently, and that's why the games between the two counties have always been tight, no matter how good Limerick have been. And Clare are the only side that has beaten them since they won their All-Ireland back. So, like, it's unbelievable. Just wish it was on at 4 o'clock.
That's the thing. That is the thing. Like, it's so frustrating, isn't it? Just on that, like, who actually does the scheduling? Like, it's just mind-boggling that this game is on at 2 o'clock. Like, and what makes it even more comical, we could have a memorable moment in the last few minutes of the game, which we probably will, because there has been a point but either way between these two sides. There's been draws, there's been replays, there's been everything between these two sides. We could have a dramatic last few minutes, but then RT will just say, hold on, lads, we'll move straight on to Roscommon and Mayo. There's no time to discuss this.
Yeah.
No, it's ridiculous.
Look, it's something that with the discussions after, I wouldn't be as concerned if they were doing, gonna kick the stool there for a second, but if they were doing, I wouldn't be too concerned with the immediate analysis if they were doing, say, a podcast show where they talked about the game more in depth. But they won't do that. GA Go is actually the place to go to get that. If you want to hear like the pundits that were talking about the games, talk about the games more in depth. And they just announced there that Dean Rock and Noel Connors have joined the team. So that'll be two very interesting people to hear on those shows. Because I knew from the get-go Dean Rock was, it was like he was tailor-made for the role from the moment he started playing for Dublin. Like, he speaks in that very Jim Gavin-esque Dublin way where it's like, oh, it's all about the process. And at the end of the day, we put in a good performance and just happy with the win. Like, he was always like that. So I'm not surprised that he's now a pundit. He's perfect for the role, an amazing footballer. Noel Connors as well was a cracking hurler with Waterford. I was always a bit confused as to why Liam Cahill, you know, didn't really want him around at Waterford. Maybe there's personal reasons that Noel stepped away, but I remember Morris Shanahan got dropped as well, and there was a few other lads that got dropped off the panel under Cahill. But they're two very interesting additions. But bringing it back to the pod and everything like that, if they could analyze it on that, it would be a hell of a lot better.
Exactly. And two main questions, and the first one I'll ask you about Limerick. Sean Finn played a fullback in the league semi-final against Kilkenny and got torn asunder by TJ Reid. Kilkenny just pumped the ball in and they got destroyed time and time and time again. Declan Hannan played centre-back as well and was clearly unfit. Do you think Limerick will go around the same positions on Sunday, or do you think someone else will go into fullback, say Mike Casey, Dan Morrissey, or whoever?
Oh, Dan Morrissey is straight back in there. I think for me, I think if they have their full component, I think if they have their full deck of cards, I think it will be Sean Finn, Dan Morrissey, Barry Nash, Dermot Burns, Declan Hannan, and Kyle Hayes. I think that will be what they go with. I think that's their best defensive six as well, if I'm being honest. They can't risk it, especially after what happened to Sean Finn against Kilkenny. They can't risk it.
They can't, no. And another question about Limerick. Darrell Donovan, how big a loss he will be in the first two games of Munster.
Massive.
Because positional changes as well. The Keane Lynch has to drop back into midfield. Will O'Donoghue can't go into centre-back because he's needed in the midfield line. It's a huge loss for Limerick, really.
Yeah, it does, because it affects the whole team. As you said, like, it has knock-on effects to the half-back line, the half-forward line. You look at, you know, I think personally they'll plug Cathal O'Neill in. I think he'll go where he needs to go for Limerick. I think or you could see David Reedy maybe. Hmm. Or maybe Barry Murphy. They have options. There's no doubt they have options. I think if I had to put money on, I think I'd say Lynch will go to midfield with O'Donoghue. And O'Neill will go to centre forward.
Interesting. And the question that I'll ask you about Clare, Tony Kelly, because obviously he was missing in the league, there's rumours that he'll be back at the panel. With Clare going so well in the league, being unbeaten, scoring freely, all of that, do you start Tony Kelly in this game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is like, Tony Kelly is a once-in-a-generation player, and it's the type of game that you have to play him, because the reality is whoever loses this game is on the ropes immediately. If Limerick lose this game, it shakes up everything, because all of a sudden, the five in a row is potentially one defeat away from being a distant dream. And they have Cork the week after, who were literally so close to beating them last season. So, like, for Limerick, if they lose this, all of a sudden, they're on a knife edge. If Clare lose this, all of a sudden, they're on a knife edge. And you know that people will be throwing the darts immediately, oh, they should have lost the league semi-final. Oh, why did they go into like, and people will be taking aim at Brian Lohan and everything. So this game is massive for both counties. It's the type of game that should be getting all the press, because the thing that makes this game so special, compare it to the Dublin and Meath game in the football. Number one, jeopardy. You don't know who's going to win. Number two, both sides have something to lose. So when you have stuff on the line, it becomes so much more important. Like, you look at Limerick and Clare, they both have so much to lose in this game. Dublin and Meath, only Dublin had something to lose there. Meath showed up and was like, meh, we get beaten, so what? It's happened for the last 14 years. And then on top of that, nobody debated who would win between Dublin and Meath. Everyone knew Dublin were going to win. But then you look at it from this perspective, people are completely divided on who wins this. People are saying Limerick, people are saying Clare, people are saying a draw, people are saying Limerick will win easy, people are saying Clare will win easy. And that brings the eyeballs.
It does. And final word, who will win this game?
As long as they are breeding, I'm going to back Limerick. That's just the honest truth. I like, God, it's so tricky. Because Clare beat them last year in this exact fixture.
Yeah.
Limerick. No, Limerick by a point. By a point. Maybe a draw.
Speaking of a draw, Denise actually asked the question, would Clare versus Limerick, as she goes on to say, go to extra time if necessary? The answer, Denise, to that is no. This is a group game, so a draw is a draw. It's 1 point each. I might be lazy in saying this, and most people will say, Matt, you're lazy for not predicting a winner in this. I'm going for a draw. I cannot decide who will go on to win this game.
I'm kind of tempted. No, I'm joining you. Draw. I really think that's what's going to happen, because it's the only result that they haven't. I know they drew in the Munster final when it went to extra time. It's the only result that hasn't really happened.
They drew in the round robin series as well.
Of that season. Championship, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay, draw.
Draw. Yeah.
Direct all the hate towards Matthew, because Matthew's the one who changed my mind.
Yeah, we're both going for a draw in this game. Call us lazy, we don't care. We are going for a draw in this one because it's so tight to call. For Clare and Limerick, Denise says Clare by two. The last puck of the goal, the game will be a goal courtesy of Shane O'Donnell, but could well be a draw. That would be a story in itself, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If Shane O'Donnell was to get a winning goal in this game.
2013 all over again.
Oh, don't remind me. Speaking of Cork, we'll move on to them next. They're going to Walsh Park to face Waterford on Sunday at 4 p.m. on GAA Go. Obviously, I think this game probably should be on GAA Go because of the way Waterford are at the moment. They're the weakest team in Munster. And if any game was going to be on GAA Go, this was going to be it. The question I'll ask you about this, do you think Waterford will be waiting in the long grass in this game to pounce on Cork? Or do you think Cork will steamroll them in this one?
That's certainly how Davy Fitz will go into this game, thinking that this is a chance to catch Cork. I think Cork are in a great spot. I genuinely mean it. I think Cork in the hurling have so much to be positive about. When you see how well they played last year and you see the momentum that they were carrying, especially towards the end of the championship, that people were actually complaining that Cork had to be out of the championship. Like, that was what was brilliant to see, that a team that got beaten by Limerick still walked away with absolute maximum credibility. That speaks to how good Cork were last year. They're a very young team. They're exuberant. They're attacking. They're exciting. They're a type of team right now that you would pay in to watch. And that's the teams that we want to see in our games. Going into this game against Waterford seemed to me like, I don't know, just... it's like their moment's passed and they can't really let it go. Like, it's 2022 was the year that everyone was looking at them. And It's like as if they were on stage and they were supposed to perform and then they just passed the mic to someone else. And what if they're trying to pull it back off someone else now? It's like, hold on, no, you had your chance. We were all looking at you, waiting for you to do something. You did nothing. So now we're all looking at Claire. Now we're all looking at Cork because they have shown that they are actually quite close to Limerick. They nearly beat them last year. So did Tip nearly beat them last year. And that's why people aren't really looking at Waterford anymore, because they haven't given us something to get excited about. In the league, they seem like they were so pumped up for these games and they lost anyway. And that's why going into this, I'm not 100% confident that Davey giving them a big rousing team talk is going to get them to go out and beat Cork. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Cork are just a little bit ahead of them right now. So I will go with Cork. I'm going to go with Cork to win by 5.
Yeah, I think Cork could win this comfortably enough as well. And Cork have looked really good, in fairness, in the league, at the tail end of the league. They brought in the likes of Alan Connolly back from injury. He scored 2 hat-tricks in a row. If he was to score another hat-trick this weekend, that has to be some sort of record. 3 hat-tricks in a row. Like, it'd be absolutely brilliant in fairness. But Waterford need to keep a leash on him, Alan Connolly, because he's in the form of his life at the moment. 2 hat-tricks in a row, as I mentioned.
And he brings a completely different dimension to Cork's attack. Cork have a lot of point scorers, but Connolly's a goal-getter.
And how crucial will he be in the Munster Championship, do you think, Alan Connolly?
He'll be vital. He'll be absolutely vital, because he just, as I said, like, he just brings that different dimension, that he's a goal-getter. And you can't buy that. You really, really can't buy that.
You can't at all. And I'd back Cork to win this game as well. But Waterford, they have to put in a performance, especially in the third quarter, as Davy Fitz has so often said. You know, it's a...
Well, that's it. That's it. They cannot drop off the way that they have.
Yeah. And you'd expect there'd be a fire in Waterford this weekend, to be honest with you. Like, Cork, seeing the red jerseys, if that doesn't light a fire in them inside you, nothing will, as a Waterford player.
Yeah.
So,
especially like the rivalry in the 2000s and everything, like.
Exactly. So, like, Waterford need to, put their chest out for this game and produce a good performance. Padraig actually commented here about the Munster Championship. Who come top 3 of Munster? Limerick, obviously. Cork, maybe. Tip, I have a feeling. Clare could be caught out, he says. Thoughts on that?
Top 3 in Munster. So far, I've said Clare, top. Limerick second, Cork third.
Yeah. I'd agree with that, yeah. I think the Cork and Tipperary, it's between them for the last spot below Limerick and Clare. And who will get it, I don't know. I think Cork are in a better stage than Tipperary are this year, I think, after the league. Because it was kind of the opposite last year. Tipperary moved into the Championship. They were on a good run of form. But now it's kind of the polar opposite. Like, Tipperary performed really, really poorly against Clare in the league. Cork did well in the last few games, including hammering Wexford. So I think Cork are... I will say this quietly. Obviously, I don't want to be biased and things like that, but I do think Cork are doing really well. And, I think Cork could be a team to watch this year because of the way they performed at the end of the league in particular.
Yeah, I think Cork, like, when you look at the kind of, to go back to the point I was saying about, like, the excitement of watching them, the exuberance that they bring, the attacking flair that they bring, I think they're definitely a team to watch. Just, did I drop out with that, or did you drop out?
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest. let's say about that, the better. We'll move swiftly on. Just before we get into Leinster, Well, we are in Leinster, but just before we get on to Leinster hurling, let me rephrase that. Do you think the Leinster and Northampton will be a sellout in Croke Park? I know this is rugby, but it is on in Croke Park in the Champions Cup semi-finals. I think it will be, personally, Padraig. What do you think, Seamus?
Probably would say that. I think when you look at the ticket prices, they're very, very reasonable. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a sellout. It's a novelty as well, seeing rugby being played at Croke Park.
Yeah, it is definitely. Would there be discussions about that, I'm sure, in the weeks to come. We'll move on to the Leinster Championship. Hardrick has brought us on very nicely to that one. Dublin have a good chance of beating Wexford, even getting top three in Leinster. Coincidentally, that is the first game we are going to in the Leinster Championship. Wexford against Dublin in Wexford Park on Sunday at 2 p.m. in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. First question to you, Seamus. Should this game be shown live? Because Ben Burney for the Wexford Hurling Podcast said this on Twitter during the week, that this is a disgrace that isn't shown at the weekend, whereas games like Cork and Kerry are in the football. What's your thoughts on this? Like, this is a crucial game for both sides, and it's not shown.
It's a vital game for both sides. And I hope that there's, like, at least highlights or something that we can watch, like, of the game, that there is cameras down there, that we can see it. Because this game is the most, I think, consequential game in the Leinster Championship over the weekend, because Dublin and Wexford will probably beat the other two teams in the Leinster Championship. Without being disrespectful to Carlow and Antrim, they probably will win those games. When you see the amount of players in Antrim have lost over the season, players like Neil McManus, who were titans of the side, Carlow as well, fresh up from the John McDonagh Cup, and losing to Laois in the league final the way that they did, like, I feel like they'll find it difficult in the Leinster Championship if they carry on that form. So you'd imagine Dublin and Wexford will beat both those sides. And so then whoever gets the top three spot, it's going to come down to who wins this game, unless Wexford can pull off a miracle like they usually do against Kilkenny. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think right now Wexford are probably in a better spot, if I'm being 100% honest. Dublin have definitely, you know, made strides under Donoghue, but I don't think we've made as much strides as Wexford have under Keith Rossiter. I think when you look at some of the performances Wexford put in the league, it was very impressive. The former lads like Seamus Casey, that very much have taken the burden off Leinster Chin. Dublin, we seem to have in the last decade since we made it to the Ireland semi-final in 2013. We're in a one step forward, one step back kind of routine that, like, the minute we find a player, we lose another player. So this year you have players, you know, such as Keane O'Sullivan really stepping to the fore. But Keane O'Sullivan comes to the fore as Rian McBride takes the year out. Like, Chris Crummy comes back as Owen O'Donnell gets injured. Like, we seem to always find the player, lose a player. Like, even going back to the last few years, Liam Rush retires, then we find Conor Burke. Paul Ryan retires, then we find Donal Burke. Like, it's very much a one step forward, one step back, and we don't really progress. And I think this year Wexford have progressed a lot, and I think I probably would slightly go for Wexford to take this.
Look, Wexford have been really impressive in the league. They only lost one game, and that was to Cork. So they have done
really well, man. This is a very good opportunity to get a statement win, because this is the game that Wexford actually have slipped up in over the last few years.
To be fair, that was under Dara Egan, and to be fair, I don't think Wexford performed to their utmost with Dara Egan in charge there.
Definitely didn't.
I think Keith Rossiter has brought a new mentality into Wexford. I really like the look of them. Like, even without Leinster Sheen and Conor McDonald in the team, definitely. Like, in fairness, Wexford have found new talent. The likes of Seamus Casey, the likes of Corey Byrne-Dunbar, the likes of Cian Byrne, who's been really impressive in the league. Wexford look at a good spot at the moment, and they seem to be bringing the youngsters along with them. And even without the influence of Leinster Sheen and Conor McDonald in most games, they seem to be doing well. Dermot O'Keefe, another one who's missing in the last few games.
Yeah, Dermot O'Keefe has been missing. Paddy Foley, obviously not been there. I know that he's not coming back. But, like, there's major players that have been missing from what has been Wexford's core over the last few years. So the fact that they are still moving along at this pace is very, very promising. I can't lie, like, I'm very excited about Wexford, to be honest. Like, I've always had a soft spot for them. Spent my summers there growing up, and getting to interview people like Martin Story and Larry O'Gorman, who are like the biggest gentlemen you'll ever meet in your life. It does make you like them more. And summer of 96, you never know, could see a part two over the next decade.
Definitely. So you say you spend your time in summers there. I spend my my adult summers there. I love going on holiday there, really. I've been on holiday, I think, in Kerry and Wexford, and both of them counties have been absolutely brilliant in fairness. in going on holiday. And Renee actually says, sorry to jump back to the Munster Championship, but would you be more surprised if Waterford football or Waterford hurling won at the weekend? Now, that's a question.
That's a question. But what I was saying, which is mental, right? Imagine Davey Fitz's reaction if the Waterford footballers beat Clare. Because A, that's Clare's home county. And B, that would potentially mean that the Waterford footballers are in the championship longer than the hurlers. Could you imagine?
The scenes, the absolute scenes. There was more.
He went to Waterford and he grew the game of football.
Exactly. Unless someone like Liam Sheedy becomes Waterford manager, Waterford or deep water.
I'm saying this now. Watch this. Okay, wait. Even the addition of Cody into the background team would make such a huge difference, but never going to. Yeah, Cody going to Waterford would never happen. I mean, he was really pissed off when Shefflin went to Galway. Cody would never manage anybody other than Kilkenny, in my opinion. I'm saying this now. Mark my words. Mark my words, right? Clip this bit up in a year. Ken McGrath will be the manager of Waterford in 2025. That's what I'm saying. You watch. He's the under-20 manager. He has a hell of a backroom team in with him. He has people like John Milan, Tony Brown, like hovering around. I'm saying this now. They are getting him ready to jump into the senior job. Maybe it won't happen next year, but it will definitely happen the year after that. That's what teams do when they're ready to bring in their next senior coach. You see it with Dublin. Jim Gavin and Desi Farrell were the under-21 managers before they got the senior job. Jim McGuinness was the under-21 manager with Donegal before he got the senior job. Mickey Hart, back in the 90s, was the Tyrone under-21 boss before he got the senior job.
Yeah,
that's how these things progress. And I think they're getting Ken McGrath in so that he gets a group of under-20 lads, gets them by the scruff and says, we're going to be the team that changes Waterford's fortunes.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely, Waterford needs something to state their claim. Now, Joe Canning would be a good fit for the Davis, but can't see it happening. I can't either, Denise, to be honest with you. But back to Wexford Dublin, just a prediction on it. Broke going for Wexford for this one.
Yeah, I'll probably go Wexford by 2 points.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Wexford as well. And just because time is at the essence, we'll move on to the other Leinster Championship game briefly because both of these predictions are probably obvious enough. Galway against Carlow at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Kilkenny against Antrim, 2 p.m. on Sunday. Galway, Kilkenny, easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I do worry for Carlow in this game because Galway actually have a tendency to really go for it. Like they don't take the foot off the pedal. I think Galway will score something like 529. I really do. Like, I think Galway have the tendency to try and bully teams. So I think they'll try to do that. I think they'll run up a big score. Kilkenny Antrim as well. Antrim have Keelan Malloy back in, I'm hearing. So that will be a big boost to them. But yeah, I still can see it under the Kilkenny win.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go for Galway and Kilkenny as well. And just before we wrap up, look at the Christy Ring, Nicky Racker, just to read them out, the fixtures this weekend. Derry against Tyrone at 1 p.m. on Sunday. London against Sligo at 1 p.m. on Sunday. We also have Kildare against Wicklow at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Actually, the Joe McDonagh Cup, I completely forgot about that. The games this weekend on Sunday, you have Laois against Offaly at 2 p.m. You have Westmeath against Kerry at 2 p.m. as well. And you have Down against Meath at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Just before we get on to Nicky Rackard and Laurie Maher and stuff like that, the Joe McDonagh Cup, like the game of the weekend there seems to be Laois and Offaly. What's your thoughts on that? Offaly to win that game, do you think?
No, I'm saying Laois. You look at Laois, like the form that they're in the league. No, I'm saying Laois, man. Laois shocked everyone by how much they beat Carlow by, and the players like Paddy Purcell and Andrew Rowland are still there. I think they're going to take Offaly by surprise as well.
How competitive is the Joe McDonagh Cup this year with the likes of Westmeath?
Oh, man, insane. You got Westmeath, you got Offaly, you got Kerry, who've been there in the final, you know, back-to-back years. You've got Offaly, you've got Laois, Westmeath, who beat Wexford last year in the Leinster Championship. Like, the Joe McDonagh Cup used to be like a yo-yo, like you'd bounce straight back up. It's not happening anymore. Teams have gone down and they've failed to get back out, which is what we want to see, because it means that the standard of hurling is getting higher.
Exactly, yeah. And Kerry, actually, Shane Conway is going to be missing for them for the year, apparently. So that's a huge loss for Kerry, and it will set them back, no doubt about it. Look at the Nicky Rackard fixtures. You have Monaghan against Roscommon at 2 p.m. on Saturday. You have Donegal against Mayo at 2 p.m. on Saturday. And the final Nicky Rackard game of the weekend is Louth against Armagh at 2 p.m. on Sunday. In the Laurie Mar Cup on Sunday at 1 p.m., you have Warwickshire against Longford. The other games are on Saturday. You have Lancashire against Leitrim at 2 p.m. and Fermanagh against Cavan at 3 p.m. I'm not going to ask for predictions on these games because obviously our knowledge isn't the best on these competitions. But I will ask your opinion on the Sunday game last weekend. No Christy Ring, no Nicky Rackard, no Laurie Mar games last weekend. Huge opportunity given the less games in football and Camogie last weekend. Big opportunity to show the games, and they didn't do it, RTE. I know you just worry for these competitions if they're just not going to be shown.
Well, that's it. I mean, you have your debate about grow the game of hurling, and we haven't seen anything implemented. I felt like that was what was annoying was like my instant reaction. I kind of felt like that was, I don't want to say clickbait, but like a way to kind of get people to watch the show. Build it up as like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And then you give like a little, literally a 20-minute discussion on what needs an hour and a half. Like, and it was kind of seen as like a venting thing. Like Peter Fortune was only getting into, like the Loud captain, he was only getting into what he wanted to say. And then Joanne was on a schedule and had to be like, sorry, man, like, I have to cut you off. Like, we've got to wrap it up here. And it's just like anything that they said, coverage is what you need. And my thing is that you look at GA Go, it's a fantastic platform, but you look at services like Clubber and you look at services like, say, with Dublin, for example, that run, you know, our own club coverage, that Dublin, we live stream every game that's on in Parnell Park for free on YouTube. And you look at other services and you have to think like, surely there's a possibility to work with Clubber and back them and go, you're going to show the games that, you know, other people want to see. And then, for example, for people like myself, yourself, that are college students that want to get in and do some media coverage, that would be an insane opportunity to get some work experience. There's wins all around there, and it's something that should be considered. And we will talk about it tomorrow.
That's probably where we should end this podcast, because we don't want to spoil that episode for tomorrow. It's going to be a big one. I know the championships weekend, and it is a brilliant weekend of action, and I hope everyone enjoys it from me and Seamus, but watch tomorrow's episode. This is a preview for it now. It's your warning. 5 o'clock tomorrow, watch it. It is going to be a big episode on Seamus's channel on Cliha if you haven't checked it out already. So, thanks to Seamus for coming on today. Thanks to Capture Athletics for sponsoring today's show. And until the next time, I'll see you all. Enjoy the weekend's games. And we might see you tomorrow if you watch on Seamus's channel. Ideas for the GAA. It's worth looking into. And, anybody that watched the stream, take care.